chapter 8, and we'll begin in reading verse 11. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question him, this is question Jesus, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit, saying, Why does this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given to this generation. And he left them and entered into a ship and departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they any in the ship with them, more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your hearts yet hardened? Having eyes ye see not, having ears ye hear not, and do ye not remember? When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many basketful of fragments took you up? They said unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many basketful of fragments took you up? And they said unto him, 7. And he said unto them, How is it that ye do not understand? And now if you would scan down to verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him, this is Jesus again, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in glory of his Father with holy angels. And then if you look at verse 9, or chapter 9, and just scan down to verse 19, there we read, And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Then down to verse 22, And oftentimes it had cast him into the fire. This is referring to the father who's brought his son to Jesus to cast out this demon that the disciples could not cast out. And the father accounts, Oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Then if you'll turn over to chapter 10, chapter 10 and verse 17, there's a portion there that we'll read. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And when he had said unto him, verse 20, when he had answered and said unto him, Master, all these things I have observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, that thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up thy cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Verse 27. And Jesus, looking upon them, said, With men it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man
that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. And then if you'll look at verse 52 of that same chapter. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Well, we've got these verses that are before us, and we won't try to cover them all this morning, okay? But we'll try to cover these between this morning and this evening. We'll have the thoughts that are laid before us. The last verse that we read does a nice job of presenting the very fact that we see in verse 52, as this blind man received his sight, that Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. This morning, the passages that we read all contained a common theme that I mentioned to you before, and that was a theme of faith and following. Okay? Faith and following. You'll see that. Some of the passages we read, it talks about believing. And we know that would be very much linked to or similar to faith, right? Believing in something or having faith in something would be the same thing. Perhaps if we were to take a survey here or look around the room, many of you could give testimony to the fact that you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's been a time in your life, like Peter, whenever Peter was contemplating these things, as we read about, he said, Lord, he came to a point of faith. He came to a point of believing that Jesus was who he said he was. He came to a point of believing that he needed to follow Jesus, and he said, I've left all and I've followed thee. And some of you would bear testimony to that very thing, that you've come to a point realizing who the Lord Jesus Christ is and said, I want to deny all and follow Christ as my Savior. I want to follow him here on this earth. I want to follow him right to eternity. Well, for the Christian, whether at the point of conversion, being saved, or at the point of living Christian life, faith and following are a fundamental aspect, aren't they? They continue the whole way through. The whole way through the Christian's walk. Back in chapter 8 of Mark, we want to see some examples. We first, with this overall theme in mind of faith and following, we see that first some followers came to Jesus. So these were religious followers. And so in verse 11, we see the Pharisees. These men claimed to follow religion. They would not come to the point of following Christ as Savior. Some would believe, and then others would not. But these men, the Pharisees came to him, we're in chapter 8, verse 11. They came and began to question him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. Now, I would ask the question, did these men have faith? Did these Pharisees have faith that came to him asking for a sign? No, they weren't accepting. What is faith? Faith is accepting something without seeing, isn't it? And here these men are coming saying, I gotta have more. I gotta have more before I'll believe. You know, show us a sign. It says in the heavens. You know, they were asking for, at the noodday, for it to become black or for a shooting star or something like that. Who knows exactly? But they wanted something more. You notice there, the next verse that it says, and Jesus, what does it say he did? He sighed deeply. Here he was, being approached by these people who were religious. They were the Pharisees. They knew ceremonial law. They probably read or had a copy of the Old Testament scriptures. They knew the Messiah was to come. And here they saw the sign. Here we see an example of one seeking with no faith and one that would not follow. He goes on to say, there shall no sign be given in this generation. And if they're requiring a sign to follow, there's going to be no sign given. You know, maybe we can relate to that in our own Christian life. We sometimes seek for a sign ourselves, don't we? We seek for a sign. There's times where, maybe you thought yourself this morning, Lord, do I go to church today? Give me a sign so that I know. Maybe it's not to that extreme that we ask for a sign, but if you wake up and you smell a fresh pot of coffee going, or you smell pancakes cooking, then maybe that would be a sign to you that you ought to get up out of bed, right? But we sometimes spiritualize things like that, don't we? I know many of you have been praying at Mountaintop, about Mountaintop, and the fact that we've been trying to build a house, build a second residence on the mountain for some time. And I would say, I followed that trap. Lord, give me a sign, may a bulldozer just show up here today and get ready to dig. How do I know for sure this is your will? Maybe we would ask ourselves a question. We could take an example from the Pharisees. Does our faith make our Savior sigh? We're scared to follow because we want a sign. We want to know it's the right thing. He's given us His Word. He's given us the Holy Spirit to indwell us. And we know if we seek Him, we will find Him. If we follow, He'll be a good leader. And so what's holding us back? What's holding us back in some of these things? Perhaps we would just remind ourselves, don't seek for a sign. And don't have our faith or our service cause our Lord to sigh. You see, we find these guys as an example. First off, that was one that we would not want to follow, but we would want to learn from their mistakes. But let's move on in the chapter as we, it says in verse 13 that he left them and entered into the ship again, departing to the other side. And so here he picks up in verse 14 with his disciples. Now, I said that we were, dealing with, faith and following, right? Well, here are the disciples. What are the disciples? These guys are ones that have made a decision to follow, haven't they? We could say that those terms are synonymous in a disciple and a follower. These guys are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's see what kind of lessons we can learn from them now. They said, we've already read the portion here, and we're going to look at it again, but maybe we could put this caption over it. The forgetful followers, right? What did they forget to do? They forgot to bring bread. See, it says in verse 14, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. You know, that's not the only thing that they forgot. We'll see as as we read on. They had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they any in the ship with them more than one loaf. And Jesus charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have no bread? And when Jesus knew it, he said unto him, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have your hearts yet hardened? Having eyes, you see not. Having ears, you hear not. And look at the next phrase. And ye do not remember. Those are forgetful followers. What is it that they had forgotten? They had forgotten the miracle that he just, see if we would have started in verse 1 of chapter 8, the first thing that it tells us about is the feeding of the 4,000 there. You see, these guys had been with them for the feeding of the 5,000. And so, he says, do you not remember? And he asked them these simple questions. When I fed 5,000, how many baskets were left over of bread? You know? And it, when I fed 4,000, how many baskets were left over? Here there's 12 men in the boat. Plus Christ. Do you think he could take care of feeding those guys? They had one loaf. You know? They were gonna have leftovers. I mean, that was the pattern, right? They were guaranteed leftovers. And it says that they had forgotten. Well, you see, the disciples, Jesus is trying to tell them something in verse 15. And not only had they perhaps forgotten bread, and they had forgotten the miracle, and the who was with them? Who was with them in the boat? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ that could make bread. And so here, perhaps, you know, we give the disciples the benefit of the doubt when we see that he has used an illustration of leaven, right? And he said, beware of the leaven. And so they're making this connection, you know, here Christ is given a parable. And what does he mean? Beware of the leaven. Did we forget the bread? Yeah. John, did you get the bread? No, Peter, it's your turn to get the bread. Hey, you guys forgot the bread. That's what Christ is telling us. Beware. I don't see how they made that connection, but evidently that's what the scripture has recorded for us. And that he's talking about bread, and we all know that that leaven is the yeast, right? And what does that do for the bread? It causes it to rise, right? Yeah? Causes it to rise, and can you see the yeast in the bread? Like when we passed the loaf this morning, could you see the yeast? Did you take the bread and say, oop, there's a piece of yeast, I want to watch out for that, you know? Do you see, like, Christ has given them a lesson here. Beware of the leaven. You can't see leaven, can you? In a sense, it's hidden. And you would accept, if he's telling them to watch out for the leaven, and they take a piece of bread that has leaven in it, the only way that they would know is perhaps that it had risen, you know, that it wasn't squatty bread, but it was rather puffy bread. But the leaven of the Pharisees, perhaps let me just make a suggestion to you that's referring to, there was a danger, you see, in the scripture. We would say that leaven would be a symbol of sin. We see that throughout scripture, don't we? We see that leaven is a symbol of sin or of evil. And here, he issues them, notice in verse 15 it says, it's a double warning. He says, take heed, that's number one. He could have said, take heed, but then he goes again and says, beware. So it's a double warning. He says, not take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. I said before that these guys, these Pharisees, they knew the ceremonial law. In fact, they knew it to a fault, didn't they? What was the leaven of the Pharisees? It was a ritualistic form of worship. It was getting caught up in the forms and ceremonies and not being caught up with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It was those men that would come seeking a sign, not placing their faith without a sign. So he says, beware of the evil, beware of the danger of the Pharisees. And that's a lesson for us all, isn't it? It's still, beware of the religion. Beware of the man-made thing. Beware of people trying to take what's good in Christianity and make it a ritual. Beware of those things. And then he says, beware of the leaven of Herod. Well, Herod, of course, was the leader of the day, and we're going to let Herod represent the world system. Beware of the world. And see, what's so interesting about this is that we said that leaven was hidden in bread. The yeast is hidden in bread. It kind of it's something that comes and creeps in, so to speak. Or we may be sitting there taking a bread and enjoying the bread and not realizing that we're taking in the leaven along with it. He says, beware of the leaven of Herod, of this world system. not only of the religious system of the day, beware of the evil that's there, but of the world system as well. You know, we find that man's thinking, man's wisdom, creeps in and sometimes edges out what Scripture says, doesn't it? Sometimes we have a danger of that we would replace man's wisdom for the scriptural teaching. We've got to be aware of that. It's like that leaven coming in and unaware, hidden. So beware of the danger of the evil. You see, here Christ is telling these disciples, they get distracted, you know, and they're thinking, okay, is it because we have no bread? And he goes on, and here these disciples who he's trying to bring and encourage and train them along, he asks them 9 questions, just back to back. You know, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you perceive not? Have you hardened your heart? Do you have eyes and see not? Do you have ears and hear not? And do you not remember? Then he asked him 2 things he had done for him in the recent past. And we could apply all those questions to ourselves, couldn't we? There's times in our life that we feel like, I've got eyes to see, but I'm not seeing, Lord, what you want me to see. I'm hearing that message, but I'm not getting anything out of it. Do you have ears and not hear? And then there would be times, do you not remember? We're wanting to encourage ourselves this morning to be faithful followers, not forgetful followers. And here in verse 21, he says, and Christ said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? You know, one thing that comes to mind as we read that portion there, what do we see in both cases? The religious men of the day sought a sign. And here the disciples, they're distracted. They're missing. Christ is trying to give them a spiritual lesson. And what are they caught up on? The material. That's part of the leaven of the world, isn't it? That's part of the leaven of the world, that often we would get caught up in the material and miss the spiritual. But both cases that I said before, the Pharisees and then here these disciples, what does it show us? It shows us man's failure, doesn't it? They failed. They missed the lesson. They didn't miss the boat because they were in the boat, but they missed the lesson. You see? And the Pharisees, they missed the lesson. It's man's failure in grasping what Christ would have for us. And one of the reasons why I'd like to suggest is because their lack of faith. And we'll see that as we go through. Christ would call the whole generation, all ye faithless generation. Well then, if we would look down to verse 34 in chapter 8, and here we'd like to deal with these verses along the same line, that Christ is moving toward the end of his earthly ministry. He's starting to make preparation and explaining to the disciples what he's going to have to go through. And we as followers could benefit from what he would tell his disciples here in verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him, and his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You know, I don't know, maybe yourself, if you've studied this passage before, or if you've studied in this gospel alone, this whole aspect is repeated about taking up your cross. In the other Gospels, we have that phrase, take up your cross and follow me, take up your cross daily. It's hard to understand, isn't it, what exactly would be meant there. We can give thought to it and say, well, what does the cross symbolize? Or we could give additional thought and study to it. But perhaps today, as we look at these verses in context here, we could gain an understanding about what is said. And in verse 34, he says really three things, doesn't he? Christ tells his disciples three things. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, that's one. Let him take up his cross, that's two. And then follow me. So we've got those three things. We break them down to be able to understand them. Denying self. That was fairly easy to understand, isn't it? It's not an easy thing to do because, I mean, who's going to take care of you? You, right? Who's going to decide if you eat lunch today? You're probably going to decide that. I mean, it's hard to deny self because that's all of what we're about. I mean, that's just what we do every day is take care of self. But to think about this and denying self, it really would mean if I'm a faithful follower, if I'm following the Lord Jesus Christ, what have I done? I've denied myself in following Him. You see, if I would take Jonathan and say, Jonathan, I'm going to follow you, okay? And you're going to walk up here and then you're going to walk down the center aisle. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I'd really like to go out that door over there, but he's going out that door. But I'm following him. So I'm denying what I want to do going out that door. And so when Jonathan starts to walk out, instead of going this way, I'm going to go this way. See, I just denied myself, but I'm following him. So we have that aspect of denying self that we could probably understand. That's the first one. Then we see that it would say to take up our cross. Well, that one, I know myself personally, I find a little bit harder to understand. But look at the next verse, and maybe we could see these two things unfolded for us. Verse 35. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Well, that's denying self, isn't it? Whoever should try to save his life, we're not to try to save our life, because can we save our own life? We can't. In fact, in other places in Scripture, in Matthew, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 says that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners, right? That was his very purpose in coming, to save us. So why would I try to do Christ's job? Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. So if I deny myself, I'm not trying to save my own life. But then look at this next one. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's sake shall save it. You see, I believe the next one is referring to this taking up the cross. But whosoever shall lose his life. The cross is no doubt a symbol of death, right? It's a symbol of being surrendered and yielded to that instrument. And so whosoever shall lose his life, deny self, not trying to save our own life, and lose our life by taking up our cross, that same person shall be saved. You see, it makes reference there to for my sake and the gospel. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? He goes back through and just telling us again that we can't do it in ourselves. It makes sense for us to deny self because we can't save ourselves. It would make sense for us to deny or to take up our cross because we should be dead in Christ. What can we give in exchange for our soul? And then the verse 38 will talk to us about following him. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words. Well, if we are ashamed of him, we're not following him, are we? If you wouldn't follow someone you're ashamed of. In fact, well, Peter gave us an example of that, didn't he? And the courtyard, and that he was trying to follow from afar, it said. But as soon as one of the people would say, hey, you were with Jesus, And Peter would deny Christ instead of denying. He was ashamed to say, I'm with him. He was scared. But if we're following, we would not be ashamed. Whosoever, wherefore, shall be ashamed of me and my words. See, we would have an opportunity to be ashamed. And you know, just as our many times we wait seeking a sign for ourselves. Many times we would find in our own Christian life that we would wait to take action because we're seeking a sign to know for sure it's the Lord's will. We have a weak faith. Sometimes we wait to take action thinking, well, no, that'll cause me shame. That'll cause me some embarrassment. But what are we doing? We may be withholding an opportunity to witness. And it's because of our shame. That's not following Christ. You see, one of the other verses that we read said when Christ was talking to Peter that, yeah, we would deny these things. We would deny family. We would deny brothers and mothers and fathers and lands for the sake of the gospel, that we would receive other things, but with persecution, that we would receive those things with persecution. And there will be a time we want to examine our own lives that we're not withholding what we should do because of being ashamed of Christ or the gospel. That we would faithfully follow him wherever he would lead us. Well, this evening we want to look at some of these other passages and other examples and men that made a choice to follow Christ and were faithful in following. Others would perhaps not be so faithful and make a choice not to follow Christ. And so we'll trust that we have an opportunity to look at that tonight. But just a reminder here this morning that we see the disciples and we see an opportunity to faithfully follow Christ. Do you guys have a closing hymn today? Perhaps we could sing that, He Leadeth Me. Do you have that one in your... His faithful follower I would be, if that's in the song book. Yeah, 461. 461, and I'll let John lead that, but just before we do, let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks for the word. We know that oftentimes in Scripture that as we read different things and come across examples, that these things are sometimes hard to understand and even more hard to put into practice in our life. Father, we do pray that you would help us in being a faithful follower. Father, we would pray that you would help us in denying self, in taking up our cross and following you. Father, we realize that sometimes we are a people of weak faith and we withhold action. We just pray that you would strengthen our faith, that we would cry out like that man, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Father, help us to be ones that would not withhold taking action, not proclaiming the word of the gospel just because of embarrassment or being ashamed. We pray that you would use our efforts and our attempts to be bold and faithful witnesses for you. We pray these things now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.